Looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change? Wishing you could keep the faith? Longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
That again, that's Kate Bush, isn't it?
Barb Perry, who is that? Quick, oh, I'm stumping my producer. This is Living on a Prayer. I'm Michelle Morgan, and Barb Perry is completely stumped as to the artist of that song. No, that's not Kate Perry. That's
no, we'll figure it out. No, because anyway. I'm looking at What If God Was One of Us, and that's Joan Osborne. No, it's
where
not the other one.
Where have all the cowboys gone?
Hi, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
I'm psychic. I should know. Welcome, welcome, welcome. First day of February. It's the love month. And tomorrow, February 2nd, is Candlemas, or also known as Imbolc. It's a holiday on the wheel of the year for those pagans out there. And it's basically the celebration of purity. It's a return of spring, even while winter appears to be holding court. Spring has, in fact, sprung. The word Imbolc actually means in the belly. So this is when the spring lambs are starting to gestate. And if you notice, I'm going to invite everybody to go outside today and take a look and see if you can find things budding out. Little crocuses are coming up and daffodils and stuff. It's really fun. And there's a little bit of a buzz to the earth right now. So that's very exciting to me. I've been Twitter-pated now for weeks on end with the spring weather we're having here in the Seattle area. So I want to welcome everybody back to the show. The theme of this show today is the polarity of the masculine, hence the theme we started with, the cowboy song. But first, last week, the final caller of the show raised a couple of really great questions, and unfortunately, I didn't have the opportunity to answer them at the time. So I'm going to take that time right now, give you a little more clarity on who I am and how I roll if you're just new to the show, so you can have an even better idea what you're going to get every Monday at noon here on Contact Talk Radio. So my goal with this show, Living on a Prayer, is education, primarily. I'm wanting to offer fresh perspectives, confirmation on your instincts, and to challenge the accepted concepts of how we humans walk in the world. This is a topic-oriented show. Each week I'm going to explore something different, and I'm going to invite you to call in with your questions, your comments, your viewpoints. And the question last week was raised regarding my relationship with God, and particularly in the context of Christianity, because I refer to God all the time. Well, I connect to God from a polarity standpoint as the masculine provider and protector, which not coincidentally is what this series of four shows in particular is all about. Last show was about masculine and feminine polarity and just the whole idea of polarity in general. And then today it's specific to the masculine. And I bring everything back to God. I believe our spiritual nature is at the center of everything we are, everything we do, and everything we experience, whether we're conscious of it or not. And the philosophy that I teach and live by is this: we're not meant to simply believe in God. We are meant to have a love affair with God. And this is the love month. This is why this is the countdown to love. So, am I a Christian? Well, I have an intimate relationship with a masculine God, and Jesus is one of my absolute best friends. So from that definition, you could absolutely call me a Christian. I also hang out with angels and Mary and a whole posse of saints. So I'm Catholic too. I believe in reincarnation. I believe that our souls ultimately and purposely choose our families of origin. So I could be considered Mormon as well, with a little Buddhist and Hindu thrown in there for good measure. Let's see. I use affirmations and visualization techniques in my spiritual practice. I believe wholeheartedly that thought manifests into physical form, so I'm also a religious scientist. I call on power animals when I pray. I work with the spirits of the seasons, the elements, the four directions, which could make my religious affiliation Native American. And I do full moon rituals and spell work, and I celebrate the 8 sacred days on the Wheel of the Year, which absolutely makes me a witch. So, religions are merely languages, y'all. And I believe God would really prefer it if everyone were multilingual. And I talked a little bit in the second show about the human psyche needing to identify with something in order to feel safe. That's what labels, categories, diagnoses, and titles are for. Safety. And in my world, the only true safety is an intimate connection with God. So I personally identify God as someone I can love, trust, count on without question. And I communicate with and experience God in a lot of different ways. My life and career are dedicated to helping others have that same experience, if that's what they choose. And as for the other question from last week regarding my psychic ability, I am always plugged in. And believe me, that is definitely a blessing and a curse. But I don't use my ability strictly for prediction. First, it's important, really important to remember that a psychic reading is just a blueprint of potential future based on your energy at the moment. That's all it is. It's a blueprint. You're going to build the house or not when the reading is over with. Free will is the ultimate deciding factor on the outcome of any psychic predictive reading. Sometimes it's appropriate for me to do a reading for somebody, and other times it's appropriate to have my counselor hat on and help someone find their own answers. So, you call me on this show or you come see me for a session, there'll be times when I give you a fish, times I'll give you a rod and a reel, times I'll tell you how to cast your net or hoist your sail, and sometimes I just tell you to get your butt in the boat, trust God, and figure it out. And I always trust God to tell me the very best thing to tell you. So, that, in a rather large nutshell, darlings, is a little bit more of me. Awesome questions, truly awesome questions, and I'm really grateful for the chance to expand on those answers. So, enough about me now. Barb, what do you say we talk about men? The disco ball is a spinning now. Thanks, Barb. That's a great song.
Yes, I'm always about talking about men.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, darling. Absolutely. Men are delicious. Absolutely delicious. So we talked last week about the overall structure and process of polarity, the energetic dynamic between masculine and feminine. So today's show is all about the masculine. For the sake of simplicity, I'm going to be referring to the masculine in the context of men, which is the societal majority. But I do encourage all my listeners to remember that the nature of polarity is not about gender. It's about energetic qualities. And I will say yet again, 1 hour is not going to do this subject justice. It just isn't. So my goal today is going to be to make you think and question and consider. We're going to open the phone lines a little bit later in the show, and I would love to hear from you, see how you think and feel about the stuff we're talking about today. So, remember, my dears, everybody has masculine and feminine energy in them. Everybody has both, but at your core, you're either one or the other. And the qualities of polarity are hardwired in the human psyche. Unfortunately, our programming or the learned patterns that we have based on childhood, based on family legacy, based on cultural mindset, etc., always override the hardwiring, especially when it comes to our way of being in the world. And believe me, the modern cultural programming is almost completely counterintuitive to the truth of polarity in its natural state. And that, I believe, is the key to what is out of balance in our world. I truly believe that. So, a man is hardwired to be the hero. And I mean that word literally. He is purpose, presence, strength, and direction. He's the provider and the protector. And we're talking archetypes here, the symbolic language of the psyche. And everybody's psyche contains these icons. We all have the archetypes in us. Women can be all of those things too. Women can be purpose, presence, strength, and direction quite successfully. But the truth is, and Barb, here's where the firing squad typically lines up. A woman is actually more powerful when she's aligned with the qualities of the feminine core, which are different than those of the masculine core. And next week, we're going to be talking specifically about the feminine. But for now, I really want you all to remember something. There truly are essential differences between men and women. And as Martha Stewart would say, that's a good thing. It's supposed to be that way. We as a culture, have tragically lost sight of those differences. And it's out of a completely fear-induced drive for equality. We talked last week about the fact that the goal of equality ultimately is very noble. It was about leveling the playing field for men and women in our world of, needing to support families and just all of it. Our culture is very different than things were centuries and centuries ago. So equality is a great idea, but unbelievable shadow stuff has come out of the way equality got translated down through the years. So men, as a demographic, are for the most part lost. There's a disparaging lack of modern role models with the qualities of a true hero. There are very few truly trustworthy masculine leaders these days. And these are men who honestly accept and own their natural role as provider and protector. Men who have the good of the many rather than the one as their goal and their intent. I'm not saying there aren't any. I'm just saying there's a few and only a few. There's no purposeful process of initiation for a boy to become a man in our culture. For a boy to learn what it means to have integrity and honor and courage, to say what you mean and mean what you say and how to follow through on all of it. We don't have those structures in place specifically as a goal of creating true men. And add to the cultural void of that, the fact that men in this world are oftentimes confused by the roles that women are playing in the modern 50-50 paradigm. We talked last week about that. Equality has created sameness, or this idea that as 50-50 partners, everybody's exactly the same. Here's a simplistic example, but it's powerful. A guy opening a door offering to carry something heavy is going to get his head handed to him more times than not by a feminine warrior who takes that natural expression of chivalry as an insult to her independence and power. I think that's really sad, because I think that also plays into the tremendous lack of common courtesy in our culture. I mean, I remember as a kid, I was raised to say please and thank you. I was raised to not play in my neighbor's yard unless they invited me. And I remember when my daughter was younger, we were living in Seattle, and there were neighbor kids that would just come over and just rip up my front yard. And I finally went out and stood on the porch one day and I said, hi guys, what's up? And they were just like, well, we're just playing. And I said to them, don't you have a yard? Well, yeah. And I said, well, why don't you go play in your yard? And they literally had no concept of why it wasn't okay to trample my flower beds and, tear up my grass. So the ongoing fight, and they're emphasizing that word there, the fight for equality has engendered a climate of outright feminine hostility toward the masculine. In fact, there's actually a book that came out in 2005 by a woman named Maureen Dowd. She's an editor of the New York Times. The book is entitled, Are Men Necessary? And the content of that book is everything that the title suggests. I find that really sad. There's a part of that book that deals with the fact that the Y chromosome is, no longer necessary or whatever, whichever chromosome that is that, we've needed men for. Apparently, we're mutating as a species, and so we're going to be able to start reproducing without the men. That's kind of terrifying to me and extraordinarily sad. All right, girls. I am not saying that women have not suffered horrific wrongs for centuries at the hands of the patriarchy. But here's a big fat FYI for you. The cultural model of the patriarchy, that domineering, controlling, oppressive patriarchy, is in fact not true masculine. Remember, the masculine is provider, protector. So that oppression and that control, that is the shadow side of the masculine nature. And I'm actually going to dedicate an entire show coming up on the shadow side of the masculine and feminine. But for now, if you can, trust me when I tell you, the patriarchy is not true masculine. And then in turn, feminism, God love it, has successfully destroyed the truth of the feminine. Feminism has turned feminine energy into something weak and unnecessary that somehow we've outgrown and we don't need anymore. We are all coming from a place of epic fear, men and women alike. And we are absolutely not honoring each other. We're not serving each other. We are not celebrating our differences, and we are certainly not utilizing those differences as the power tools they actually are. Even the men are from Mars, women are from Venus stuff. It's great information, absolutely brilliant information. In fact, it was one of the first pieces of information that came down the pike that really helped people start to understand that there were differences and what those actually looked like and where they came from. But the challenge with that is even that information really has served to help us merely accept and learn to live with the differences. We're still not actually cultivating and rejoicing in those differences. And I think that makes all the difference. So we could talk all day about what's out of whack in our present day society as a result of this reversed paradigm. Instead, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, since this is the countdown to love, I want to offer ways that all of us, men and women alike, can start to honor the true masculine in this world. And by doing so, we can call it forward in a much needed way. So you've been listening to Michelle Morgan. This is Living on a Prayer. I want you to come back and hang out with me. We'll be right back.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Got a question for Michelle? Give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
I want to be a good man, I do like I should, man. I want to be the kind of man the mirror likes to see. I want to be a strong man and admit that I was wrong, man. God, I'm asking you to come change me into the man I want to be.
Love that song. Chris Young, adorable country singer. Great tune, great lyrics. Perfectly fitting. Thanks, Barb, for that. Oh, and by the way, Paula Cole was who did the I Wanna, what is that, No More Cowboys or whatever. where have all the cowboys gone? No More Cowboys, I Wanna Be One. We are actually going to go to a caller right now. We have Kelly on the line, and she's got a great question about what we're chatting about today. Kelly, honey, are you there?
I am here.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm good.
Very. Pretty okay. I have a little snag here.
Okay. What's your snag?
I guess the snag has to do with my boyfriend. I want to say that over the past 3 weeks, I've become more distant and more distant from him.
Okay.
And he's a wonderful person. He's a sweetheart.
Right.
He does anything for me.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening to you, and I'm throwing in those okays.
Okay, so just want to make sure I was.
Yeah. No, keep going. You're
there.
Good. You're good.
Okay, but he wants, as I get closer to my time of the month, as I lovingly call it,
right?
The distance, you know, gets bigger and greater, and
okay.
I just want to be left alone in a way.
Yeah, sure.
I'm perfectly receptive if he's loving to me. It's not that I, you know, completely push him away, but
right.
when it has to do with kind of expending energy,
yeah.
Getting intimate, more sexual, I'm just like,
absolutely.
Can you let me go for now?
Yeah,
so, and I'm not approaching him apparently enough, and he is literally very upset. He's very upset that I'm not giving him love. He's upset that I'm not hugging him and approaching him.
Okay.
Instigating.
You bet. So this is classic polarity stuff. This is absolutely classic. So my first question for you is, have you sat down and had a conversation with him about what you need during the moon time for you?
I have.
Okay.
I think I believe he understands it. He just doesn't know how to handle it.
Right. Out of curiosity, I'm going to get real picky here because this is whole polarity stuff. It's so amazing how 90% of polarity is based on expression and energy, literally how we approach things. So when you had that conversation with him, I'm real curious to know, how did you deliver the information?
Well, sadly, it had to happen as I was feeling it. You know, it's never a thing where you think about it before it happens. It's just you start to feel more and more distant. You feel kind of claustrophobic.
Sure.
Kind of like, oh, I really like, you know, that you're being sweet to me, but it's almost his intention to be more than sweet, to be intimate, that upsets me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It's not bad or wrong of him.
Oh.
And I tell him I don't know why.
Right.
You know, that's what happens. We have a small argument, and then...
Okay.
You know, we're good at resolving arguments. We kind of get to the root of the problem.
Sure.
But
you keep coming.
We still can't.
Sounds like you keep coming around to the same problem, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you bet.
Yep.
So the first thing that I would tell you is, and this is why consciousness is so important. I mean, so again, polarity is hardwired in us. It's absolutely this instinctual, natural thing. But because we are all programmed culturally for centuries to the pretty much polar opposite of polarity, we have to be conscious about it. We have to think about this stuff and actually practice it. And so you're going to need to think about the fact that this comes up for you every month. This is an energetic experience that you have. And I'm going to talk for a second first about why this is really natural in you. Back in the day, in the tribal days, there's a great story that just shows you how things have gotten so screwed up culturally. The game telephone where you start with a line and you whisper a word in somebody's ear and then they whisper
it,
and then it gets to be something completely bastardized by the end. Okay, well
right.
that's how mythology ends up getting handed down. So here's the myth of the moon time. Back in the day, this is the story that circulates, that the women in the tribes, because if women are all together in a mass, they bleed at the same time. It's fascinating. When I was living in my dorm in college, it was just great. By the end of the year, we were all like comparing, you know, tampon stories and stuff because everybody was bleeding at the same time. So that's what happens. The feminine rhythm is so powerful that we all start to bleed at the same time. So the women in the tribes, the story goes that there was these moon huts and that the men would literally sequester the women, lock them away, basically, because it was not a good thing. It was, you know, sort of bad voodoo when the women were bleeding, and they didn't want to be affected by or tainted by the energy. So the men would actually push food with long poles under the doors so that they didn't have to get near the women. I'm not kidding you. This is the story, okay? But here's the truth of that. The truth is, and this is so beautifully a polarity story, the real truth is that the men in the tribe built the moon hut for the women. And the women would gather together in the moon hut and they would tell stories and they would braid each other's hair and they would hang out during their cycle away from masculine energy so they could just literally relax and be safe and open up into that full-blown intuition, spiritual, creative nature of the feminine. Really an amazing time. And the men were so honoring of that. They knew the power of the women, especially at that time. And they knew how...
Honor,
absolutely. And the men would, in fact, push food with long poles under the door, not so that they wouldn't be tainted, but so that they energetically would not interfere with that feminine vibration that was going on. It was 100% about an honoring thing and about the men taking care of the women. So you, my darling girl, are going back to your tribal roots. You need to be in the moon hut. You need to go in and go inward and be in that quiet, reflective, receptive place. And your boyfriend's struggling because in our culture, here's what a period is. It's a pain in the butt. Okay. We have freaking commercials. We sell drugs to help women, quote unquote, deal with their period. There is actually a birth control pill that their whole advertising campaign is based on. Why should you have to have a period every month? Well, hello, because our bodies are meant to. That is just terrifying to me. Yeah, I'm going to take a chemical drug to shut my natural processes down. Pretty soon they're going to have a chemical drug that shuts down our need to urinate and, you know, have any kind of release. All right.
Anything that's a pain in the butt.
Anything that's, you know, remotely not okay. So, all right, I'm off my tangent. So back to your situation. So your boyfriend, God love him, he's feeling you pull away. And the masculine, for the masculine, they're very, very tied in to the physical. Okay, and I don't know if you listened to last week's show, but one of the things that I talked about was, and again, this is an energetic thing. The masculine rules the physical and the intellectual realm. Feminine rules creative and spiritual realm. Okay, that's total yin-yang stuff. Men are hardwired to process intellectually and physically first. So they're going to get an emotional reaction if their woman is pulling away from them. That's going to be an immediate sign to the masculine that his relationship is not okay. And most men in our culture, what are they going to do? They're going to get a little panicky and they're going to try to, you know, they're going to reach out and try to pull you back. He's not understanding that he could serve you in such a brilliant way here if he not only just let you, it's not even about you being, letting you be alone. It's about him honoring the fact that you are inward. You are much more spiritually connected. You don't want the sexual connection because that pulls you into your body. And you're out of your body during your moon phase. That's the point, okay? It's a heightened...
It's so funny you say that, not to cut into what you said there. But it's funny because I've been kind of doing this kind of inward thing for at least 2 months now.
Right.
And so this is the hilt, like, you know, the hilt of it. He really feels it now. now.
Yeah, you bet.
Because not only have I already been in work, but now I'm even more so.
Yeah, you bet.
And I feel bad for him because I don't want him to suffer.
No, well, absolutely not.
But I feel that, like what you're saying, I want to be I want to be in.
Yes.
I don't want to come out in the physical
And place. And part of the challenge for you, honey, is that you're also not honoring it. You're questioning, why do I feel this way? What's wrong with me? I should be, you know, et cetera. And all you're doing there is you're suppressing your true feminine, and she's in there screaming, okay? So it's going to make that need to shut down even greater, way greater than it actually should be. Because you are not honoring that process. So I would highly recommend that you and your sweet boyfriend sit down when you're not in a space of, you know, wanting to
an argument,
absolutely, you know,
or anything like that.
Yeah, and so here's how you do it. I want you to approach him. I want you to physically touch him. A really good place to do that is to touch his chest, right above the solar plexus. You're actually connecting energetically to his heart. Place the palm of your hand, preferably your left hand. That's receptive. On his heart, and I want you to look him in the eye, and you may have to sort of quote unquote force yourself to do this. I'm not suggesting you force yourself to do anything. Do you know what I'm saying? But you're going to have to maybe, you know, be willing to open up a little bit. That's all it is. You are actually opening your heart to this man. He loves you and you love him. You put your hand on his chest, you look him in the eye and say, sweetheart, I love you. And here's what I need from you. This is what's happening for me in this time. I don't even understand it, but I really want to honor it. I really want to try this. And here's what I need from you. I need for you to understand what this is for me. And this is what I would love to have from you. And line it out. Make it clear for him. If it's okay for you to cuddle with him but not have sex, then go ahead and do that. If it doesn't even feel good to cuddle, then I want you to at least be willing to open your heart to him. And when you pass by him in the room during the day, you reach out and you touch him. You make sure you give him eye contact. You give him some signals that you are still physically there for him without having to compromise your physical energy. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, girlfriend, what an amazing opportunity you guys have. I mean, this is such a sweet thing. And let me tell you what happens. This is the nature of polarity. This is why it's so amazingly brilliant to work with. The nature of the masculine is he is the hero, okay? He's the protector, the provider. The nature of the feminine is she is the goddess. She's love, she's light, she's creativity, she's nurturing, she's expression of emotion. If your man really brings it, really brings the hero and creates that amazing sacred space for you, you're going to feel safer, right? You're going to relax, you're going to shine, you're going to open up, and you're just going to feel so much better in the world, and your natural vibration is going to get so heightened. He is going to feel like he's 10 feet tall with about a 9-foot erection. I'm not kidding you. He's going to feel like such a hero. The more heroic he feels, the more instinctive it will be in him to protect you and provide for you. The more protected and provided for you are, the more relaxed you are, the more powerful you are, which makes him more heroic, which makes you safer. And it just grows exponentially. That's the beauty of this. And it is natural, kiddo. It's natural and instinctual in the masculine and the feminine core. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to do this. And I want you to call me in another couple of shows, because we're continuing on with this whole theme for the next two shows. I want you to call me and let me know what happens. I'm sure the listeners are curious too. You know,
okay.
And I guarantee you there's some listeners out there going, that's the biggest crock of crap I've ever heard in my life. That's so manipulative. Well, you know what it is? It's absolutely manipulative. And that's what we do. We work with energy, and that's the nature of manipulation, is working with natural energies for the highest and best outcome. Absolutely. This is about you serving your man by serving yourself, and he's going to want to serve you, I guarantee you. Okay.
That sounds great. I'll try it out and I'll let you know what happens.
Please do. And sweetheart, thank you so much for calling in. That was just an awesome, awesome thing to bring up. So
you're welcome. I'm glad you're there for me to call.
Right on, girl. Absolutely. You have a great Valentine's Day, okay?
Okay, you too.
All
you
right,
as well.
Buddy. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, yeah. That was delicious. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. I cannot tell you how important it is to start to play with this stuff and start to write this world one relationship at a time.
Well, I like the hand on the heart move.
Oh,
I think,
man,
I'm going to try that on bar next time.
No.
We'll see. See, I'll just like line them up.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you what, the true man will respond to that.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I am going to offer you guys some very, very specific ways of working with that masculine energy. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. And when we come back, we're going to keep the phone lines open as well. So stick around.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
If you've got a question for Michelle, give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
In the studio now. I'm telling you, Barb, you rock. You truly rock. It's so much fun. But we do need a disco ball in here, I think. Don't you think? We need to grab one of those and hang it from the ceiling. Wind up a camera and let us do that.
We need a shiny disco ball.
A shiny disco
ball. I actually
ball.
Have that song too. Not ready to go though.
I'm so not surprised. All right, we're back. I'm Michelle Morgan. This is Living on a Prayer. Couple of quick things. Go to the host page on contacttalkradio.com. On the right side, you can click on iTunes to subscribe to the show. Past shows are being archived on there, so that's kind of groovy. You can download those for free and check them out. You can get onto my website, michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org, not .com. Actually, michellemorgan.com used to be owned by this big, busted, blonde ex-playmate, which is just so not me. Not in any way, shape, or form, literally. Anyway, michellemorgan.org. Click on the links box on the right side of any page, and you can follow me on Twitter, or you can become a fan on my fan page on Facebook. How fun is that? All right, so we're back to men. Men. So here's some ways that, guys, you can start to claim your true nature. First and foremost, be purposeful. What the heck does that mean? Being purposeful means you are literally focused and you are staying true to that focus. Find something beyond yourself to champion, something that you truly believe in, and then dedicate yourself unwaveringly to it. Some men find a purpose in huge things like entrepreneurial enterprises or charity work or whatever it is. Great, big, huge purposes. Those are fabulous too. Sometimes the whole purpose is to be a good father or to be a good husband or just to be a good man in the world. Whatever you decide to do, be purposeful about it. Dedicate yourself to it. It's been said that a man who doesn't stand for something will fall for anything. So find out what you stand for and then step up to it. Make decisions, then stand by them right or wrong. If you're wrong, own it. Make the appropriate changes and keep going. It's not about perfection, gentlemen. It's about principle. Own your divine nature as a hero. You are here ultimately to create safety and security for the feminine. Now that means women, children, nature, all aspects of the planet and society that embody the feminine qualities of emotion, creativity, spirituality, and nurturing. If your ambitions and intentions don't have an underlying theme of serving that greater good, then adjust them accordingly. And if the idea of that kind of divine responsibility feels burdensome or unfair, I'm really going to invite you to be willing to change your perspective from one of the victim to the warrior. I hear it a lot from men when I teach this subject, you know. It's just this really unfair thing. They have to carry all this quote-unquote responsibility. Yeah, absolutely. You're masculine. It's in your spiritual DNA to be a champion. How cool is that? So I'm asking you all to start owning it. And if you aren't already doing this, start in small ways to align your actions with your words. That's a huge one. That's probably one of the ultimate complaints I get from women about their men, is that their words are not in integrity with their actions. If you say you're going to be somewhere at 8 o'clock, be there at 8 o'clock. Simple. It is not brain surgery. It's integrity. Own your mistakes, your failures, your limitations, with sincere apology and without excuses. You're human. You're going to screw up. In fact, if you're living your life right, you should be making at least one mistake a day. Then you take right action to move in a better direction. You learn what you need to learn and you move on. This is a big one, a really big one. Be present. If you're with your woman, be with her. If you're with your kids, be with them. If you're in a board meeting, be in the meeting. Get your life in order so you can be in whatever moment you're in fully and not distracted, not thinking about other things. I, again, can't describe how many times I hear women talk about the fact that they're, you know, trying to have a conversation with their man and he's obviously at a Barry Manilow concert or at the Super Bowl or at a board meeting, and when in fact he's sitting down across the table from her. And I'm not saying you're not going to be distracted, gentlemen. You are. This world, I'm telling you what, one of my big pet peeves with the chemical companies are all the commercials that they've got for these different drugs, and they make it sound like, you know, you can just pop into the doctor and just get this great prescription for anything. And I haven't seen this one lately, but several years ago, there was this huge push for the adult attention deficit disorder and the little purple pill. Okay. And, you know, the entire advertisement showed a woman in this case, but, you know, the corporate woman with the family at home and blah, blah, blah. And she was just, you know, completely distracted and couldn't keep all of her ducks in a row. Well, I don't think anybody in this modern world with cell phones and computers and 8 bazillion things we're cramming into a day, every stinking one of us has attention deficit disorder. There's no question about it. So you're going to be distracted. You're going to have a lot of stuff on your plate, and there are going to be days when you just don't know if you're coming or going. The point of this is not perfection. It's about coming up with the 70-30 split and then growing it to 80-20 and then, you know, trying for 90-10. Try and be as purposeful and present as you possibly can and take care of your life. Get it organized and get it in order so that you can be fully present. This is another big one. Lean into the mountain, face down the dragon. Put your head willingly into the lion's jaws. Pick your analogy, guys, but confront your fears, large and small. In this culture, men take the path of least resistance. There is an actual polarity dynamic to that, which is the masculine, in fact, seeks the void. The masculine seeks death. The feminine seeks life. That's, again, a yin-yang thing, kids. But in that, unfortunately, that's been translated in our culture as men taking the path of least resistance. They will choose not to look at something rather than look at it. So grab onto that icon of the warrior and be willing to face the dragon. Another huge thing, I think in particular in this culture, is men need to seek mentors. It's the tribal elder concept. Find other men that you can respect, trust, and learn from, and then be willing to learn. A lot of men hold to the idea that they're the lone wolf. And here's what's interesting about that. The terminology lone wolf is, in fact, an oxymoron. Wolves are pack animals, first and foremost. And so men need to find other masculine beings that they can, in fact, learn from. And that's really important. And that can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes in our culture. But I guarantee you, if you put the intention out there, you're going to draw that to you. And then finally, partner with God. We're going to be talking in an upcoming show about what that can look like from a specific polarity standpoint. It's really an amazing way to start to explore a relationship with God. But for now, purposely, there's that word, seek the connection. God, in fact, is the ultimate mentor, being that masculine provider, protector. And remember that you're here to champion the goddess, the divine feminine. So partner with God and champion the goddess. So women, here's what we can do. First of all, don't underestimate the power of a woman. That's an age-old adage that is very, very appropriate. First thing I want to emphasize for the women, demonstrate respect. I see this all the time, and I think it's horrifying. Women putting down their men or making sarcastic comments about them couched in the context of quote-unquote joking. You know, oh yeah, you know, John was going to fix the sink this weekend. Yeah, right. And, you know, he's standing right there. And they're all laughing. He's laughing too. And I guarantee it's not funny. Especially not for the masculine. Dr. John Gottman, he runs the Love Lab at the University of Washington. Great, great guy, great programs that he runs. He calls sarcasm one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse when it comes to the disintegration of relationships. It's one of the worst things that we can do, and we do it all the time. That's a cultural brand of comedy, literally. And it's interesting because as women, we're hollering all the time about wanting respect in this modern paradigm of equality. So we have to be willing to give it in order to receive it. And the interesting thing is that respect is absolutely paramount for the masculine, more important even than love. They've done studies on this. It's a fact. So you ask me, what if a man truly doesn't deserve respect? That's a good question. I tell you, ask yourself why you're with that man in any capacity. To your boss, get a different job. To your husband, get some counseling. To your boyfriend, consider ending the relationship. If you're with a man who does not deserve respect, who truly, honestly does not deserve respect, then you need to find out what that pattern is for you. Ladies, try to relinquish a little control and let the man lead. Don't tell him what to do or how to do it. Instead, ask for what you need and be willing to trust him to follow through to provide it. Kelly, honey, this is a perfect example. Thank you again so much for calling in with your question. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Ask for what you need and be willing to trust him to follow through to provide it. Men don't ask for directions because they're hardwired to the hunt. No kidding. And we need to honor and respect our man's innate ability and his instinctual drive to seek and find the prize with his own power. And that can be a really hard thing to do because, let me tell you what, control is probably the number one issue for us women in this culture. And there's reasons for that. There's a place for that. We're going to be talking about that next week at length. But for now, in your relationships with men, try to relinquish a little of that control and let that man lead. Recognize and honor the archetypes in men and invite the hero. Do not underestimate the power of the feminine invitation. There's a book called For Women Only that was written by a gal named Shanti Feldhahn. She's a Christian writer. And it's an amazing book. It's just fascinating. It's a study done, a survey on several thousand men asking some really pointed questions and just some brilliant information in there about the secret lives of men, how they feel and think and how women perceive them and all of that. And my favorite quote probably of all time about women and men, at least the woman for the man, comes from that book. And regarding the power of a woman, and the quote is, it's about sending the man we love out into the world each day, alive with the belief that he can slay dragons. Nothing inspires true masculine like true open feminine. And it's amazing how people will live up to whatever idea we carry of them, no question. If you've done everything you're capable of to see your man in that higher light and he doesn't step up to his hardwired nature, that's important information for you to have about him and his character. And finally, girls, ladies, women, if you struggle to trust men because of past experiences, cultivate your relationship with God as the ultimate masculine, and then do the work to heal your past wounds so you don't magnetize a repeated pattern of untrustworthy men. We're just magnets, everybody. So pay attention. What role are you playing? Take a look at that. So there are some ideas, some suggestions to start. Again, we could go, oh, trust me, we could go on for weeks, months on this topic. No question about it. And next week, we are going to go after the same stuff from the feminine perspective. We're going to talk the same deal for the gals. So I'm hoping you all will tune in. Again, get onto contacttalkradio.com. Click on the right side. Get onto iTunes and subscribe to the show. And let people know about it. If it's something that you're getting value out of, absolutely spread the word. I would love that. You can follow me on Twitter or Facebook fan page. Get on michellemorgan.org and check that out. I appreciate everybody listening today. Barb, thank you, darling girl, for once again helping me rock out here. Tons of fun. So did you get some information today, little girl, about your,
I did,
about your situation?
My situation.
My situation changes daily.
There you go. Absolutely.
I'm always manifesting something. And I'm like, what did I do this time? Which button did I push?
Which button did you push this time? Well, this will give
We'll see what happens by the end of the day.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Next week, we'll have all sorts of things to
That's
talk
right.
about.
That's right. I'm bound to get a bullseye pretty soon here. Bound to.
I totally trust that. Mm-hmm. So we will be back next week, Monday at noon, same time, same place. I hope all of you tune in. Appreciate you listening. This is Michelle Morgan, and this is Living on a Prayer. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.